You can spend your whole life building something from nothing. One storm can come and blow it all away. Build it anyway. You can chase a dream that seems so out of reach, and you know it might not ever come your way. Dream it anyway. God is great, but sometimes life ain't good. When I pray, it doesn't always turn out like I think it should. This world's gone crazy. It's hard to believe that tomorrow will be better than today. Believe it anyway. You can love someone with all your heart for all the right reasons. In a moment, they can choose to walk. You can pour your soul out singing a song you believe in, and tomorrow they'll forget you ever sang. Sing it anyway.
What's the most important thing on your mind right now?
Jesus.
Okay? Yeah. Sometimes we get a little confused, though, in the world. We forget to focus on what's most important. And our speaker today won't need any introduction for many of you, but for those of you who don't know him, he is a senior pastor out of New Hope, Hilo. When Pastor Wien left to come here, Pastor Alex Pacheco took over the congregation, and he has been just blessing them tremendously. When he comes, I always see the Apostle Peter in him, because Pastor Alex was a fisherman before he became a pastor, but the Lord called him out of that and made him a fisher of men. And he and his wife Berna have been blessing so many in the world today. He is a brother. He is like a father to me. He is a mentor. I love listening to him and hearing his counsel. Would you welcome Pastor Alex Pacheco as he comes up?
Thank you, guys. Good morning. It's so good to be here again. Because if you don't invite me, it means you don't love me. Yeah. And I know that we're loved because we're always invited back. I'm going to do something right now and see if you remember. Get it? Good. All right. Everywhere I go, I bump into somebody like from Honolulu. Last time it was in Anchorage, Alaska. And when they greet me, get it, got it, good, Pastor. Yeah. And I think it's wonderful that when it's time to kind of hammer something, you know, you get the last pound of the nail, that you can say, get it. And then the response is, I got it. And then we can say, good. Because we want to remember the important things of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I love Pastor Alwin. He is a blessing to me. And I see this thing as it works both ways. If I can share something in his life that he would say is good, I get a lot of good stuff back from him as well. And we become good friends. And I just admire him. He was a judge. Many of you know that. And then gave that up and gave it to that he could pastor people. And he really moved into an era of his life where he's saying, I believe with all my heart that I need to love God and love people. And he demonstrated it by leaving what he was doing for that. And I love Pastor Wink Odero. I'm so glad that he can rest during this time and get refreshed again. And he led me to Christ. And I will always be grateful for that. You know, he spent a lot of time with me. Sometimes some people need more time, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. And but the thing I loved about him was that I understand today he is a water sportsman. I mean, he paddles the kayaks and canoes and everything. But in the old days, he couldn't handle very good. In fact, you ever saw anybody turn green? Yeah, well, Pastor Wayne used to turn green on our boat and would not even talk to me, you know. And I thought, I'd come home and I'd say, I don't know why this, to my wife, I don't know why this guy keep coming, you know, say nothing. But he was too sick, you know, to do it. But what he was really demonstrating was the great love that he had for me. And I'll never forget that God loves us that way. And he used Pastor Wing to demonstrate it to me. And I'm glad today that I'm able to be doing what we're doing. It is an honor to be here. And there are some other people I want to brag about, that my wife and my daughter. My wife is Berna, and my daughter is Lena. And then we have our granddaughter. Our granddaughter is Nikki. Hi, Nikki. Yeah. Yeah. So if you want to see what a Hilo babe looks like, just check my wife out. Yeah. Yeah. Well, so today I want to talk to you about that there is still time no matter what happens in your life. And what I mean by that is never too late to do what is right. My wife and I have been praying a lot for our President of the United States. When I look at him on television, it looks like he has aged a lot. And I know why, because there's so much on his shoulders. And a lot of the people in the United States are not making it easier for him. The things that they say, and there are some that actually demonstrate, and it's not easy for a leader. There's a book that has been written about leadership in the marketplace, and the Best Business Practices did a survey with 1,500 managers across the United States, and they asked this question: what's the trait that you most admire in a supervisor or a leader? And then compiling all of the results, they identified 225 different traits that were listed, and they categorized those into 15 different categories. And the number one thing that people look for in a leader was integrity, followed close behind were words like trustworthy, truthful, has character, lives by their convictions. The word integrity is an interesting word. It means to live an integrated life, a life that is whole and consistent without compartment or without fragmentation. William Barclay said this, "Here's a great eternal truth. Life cannot be divided into compartments, some of which God is involved in and others in which he is not involved. There cannot be one kind of language in the church and another kind of language in the workplace or the office. There cannot be one kind of conduct in the church and another in the business world." I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you came to church this morning? Now, this is not a trick question, okay? How many of you came to church this morning? Okay, I want to tell you something. You thought you came to church. You really came to school. Because we're going to learn some things together. And church does not start until you walk out these doors. And so we learn how to apply the things that God speaks to us and our churches out there. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so at the core of what we call the Lordship of Jesus Christ, in other words, the truth is that Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. That means to me, it means that he's my boss, that he rules over every area of my life. The Lordship of Christ, his dominion rules over my life and in every part of my world. Everything that the Lord says to me touches all my relationship. It touches my finances. It even touches how I raise my children. That's how important this message is today, that we understand who Christ is. And if I'm going to live this kind of life, a life of integrity, the discussion has to start right in here. And let me tell you something. When I say BC, BC means before Christ's days. Okay, I had them. There was a time in my life that I did not know who Jesus Christ was. I just knew who Alex Pacheco was. There's a big difference. And so what was happening in my life was everything that I did because it served me well. I was the boss. I was the one that did the things that I wanted to do. And I didn't know this. And you can say after it, duh. I didn't know this, that because I was always saying, hey, my wife got to get her act together. My children have to get their act together. My boss has to get his act together. All you guys need to get your act together. But then when I came to know Christ, when he came into my life, guess what? Everything changed. It wasn't everybody else. It was Alex had to get his act together. That was a big change in my life because I was always doing the opposite. And I found out that it starts in here. It starts in my soul and in my character. And I have to realize that integrity is first and foremost an inside job. Get it? Good. Now that means that I have to pay attention to develop my character, which happens inside. And my character is a moral compass for my life. It is the spiritual GPS that helps me to navigate the minefields of life and the decisions that I make in this life. How many of you have used a GPS before? Okay, there's a bunch of us. They made it so easy. You know, now you just punch in a point of interest or an address of some kind, and then this machine tells you where to go. Let me give you some good counsel here. If you're trying to save your marriage and you're always traveling and you use your spouse to navigate, get a GPS. It will save your marriage. Yeah, because otherwise you always fight when you get lost. Your fault. Your fault. Now you can blame the GPS when you're lost and you can say, hey, this thing don't work, this machine. But the best GPS ever is our Lord Jesus Christ. And he leads us. He is the one that leads the way. Yeah. And so what I have to do is use him to guide me. Now, how many of you would say that you're good looking? Hey, every time I look in the mirror, I tell myself, no wonder that woman I married loves me. No wonder she chose me. You know? You and I, we always look in the mirror because we look good. God has blessed us being good looking. And then He has blessed us with skills. And we have knowledge. And we have all these things. And these things help open doors in your life. But, folks, let me tell you, it's just like a marriage. You might fall in love with somebody that looks good. But in the long run, it's their character that will make you stay there. And character is so important. It's inside that will determine how you handle the things of life that comes your way. Character is something that is forged in our life over the course of a lifetime. Now, here is the good news. It is never too late to start paying attention to your character. So you can write, boy, today I can do this. Character is something that is forged in our life over the course of a lifetime. Now, there's a story that comes out of the book of the Bible in the Old Testament. It is the book of Daniel, the third chapter. And it is a story about an out-of-control king with an out-of-control ego. And one day this king, his name is Nebuchadnezzar, he comes up with this great idea that he will build a 90-foot statue of himself and he would make everybody in the land bow down to this idol as a sign of loyalty to him, that they would worship him through this image. So Nebuchadnezzar gives this command throughout the kingdom. And by the way, the second part of this command was that anybody who refused to bow down would be immediately executed. So the day comes, the day of this big dedication and celebration of this great statue. When the band begins to play, the rule then is now everybody has to fall to their knees. So the band begins to sound off. Everybody, as far as you can see, falls to their knees and they begin to worship, except three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three guys were captured in Jerusalem when Babylon had taken over. The story goes that these three guys were in training to become leaders in their country, this new country. I mean, they were prisoners, but now they're being blessed because they were chosen to lead, and they're being trained for that. They are on the fast track in their careers. Really, they were set for life, and I would say this, they had nothing to lose or to gain, but they still defied the king. They refused to bow down. And Nebuchadnezzar is absolutely upset and furious. How many of you wives have seen your husbands upset and furious? Okay, how many of your husbands saw your wives? Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's nothing. That's nothing. Because this king, you know how upset he was? He was so upset, he wanted to kill these guys. These three men are brought to him, these young guys. And here's where I go into the, we're going to change now. We're going Hawaiian and Pidgin, okay? Okay, so Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, boys, I think that you guys never understand what I told you. When the ukuleles and the guitars play, you got to get down. You got to go down. You got to worship. And if I was one of these three guys, I would have said to the other two, I think our boss is serious. He'll kill us. And so why don't we just go along? Let's just go ahead. We'll bow down and we'll worship this statue. But later on, we can go and worship the real God. But that's not what happened in this story. In fact, these three young men simply said, no way. No way. Now, I don't know about you, but there is something in my spirit that resonates with people who live by their convictions. They are willing to stand and say no. No way. We're not going to go along with what just to get along. And folks, I would be the first to say that when I look back on my life, there has been times when I made decisions that really didn't go with what I believed in. And this morning I want to talk about what it looks like to live a life of integrity. And I want to give you some keys that we can use in our lives, and they come right out of this story. And so there's an outline in your bulletin that you can take out and follow along. And if you're taking notes, would you fill in the blanks? The first key to living a life of integrity, number one, is know what's right ahead of time. Know what's right ahead of time. You see, along life's journey, you're going to face thousands of ethical and moral decisions. And some of them will be life-defining. Some of them won't be that big, some will be large, but they all shape and form your character. And it's important that you have a well-established moral compass to help you navigate through these minefields and making decisions. And I would like to call this, on the second line, the test of conviction. The test of conviction. And let me tell you that these tests really help you to discover what you really value and what you really believe in. And it's important that you determine ahead of time before these tests come in what you do believe, because if you wait until the test comes, you will compromise. Your convictions will be put to the test. So it's important to know ahead of time. And that was true with these three young men. They had already set their course in what they believed, and they were not willing to compromise. The Word of God, everybody say the Word of God. Yeah, the Word of God had become their moral compass. And obviously, they had been taught the truths of the Bible. And those had been so ingrained in them that now they were a part of the fabric of their character. So let me give you moms and dads and grandparents a challenge today. This is why it's so important that you take ownership of building into your children and into your grandkids the kind of moral compass that they're going to need that will help them, guide them through the rest of their lives on this earth. It is so important because they need that. And these young men had it. How many of you know what I'm holding in my hand? Okay, some of you said it, the Bible. But this is more than the Bible. This is the Holy Bible. And long ago, in my BC days, my mother, who was a strong Christian, bought for me and my family a Holy Bible. That one I remember so clearly because it weighed about 50 pounds. It's like my mother was saying, Alex, you better get it. And so what we did was we, because I know what the Holy Bible is, and so we set it on our coffee table right in the middle of our living room. And I would say to my children, that is the Holy Bible. Don't touch it. It's holy. You better not rip one page. You're going to die if you touch that. And so this Holy Bible sat on our coffee table for years. And every time I would pass them, it's my Holy Bible, holy. And Bernard would dust it and clean it. Yeah. And I used to hear that the Holy Bible has power. Can do stuff. Look at them. Yeah, I got one in my house. Yeah. It wasn't until I came to know Jesus that I found out you got to open them. And then you have to get it from here, the Holy Bible, into here. And then out here. See, I cannot teach anybody anything unless it's in here. And it's so important, moms, dads, and grandparents, that you and I, we have an understanding of what God's Word says. We get it in here. And then out here. And a lot of us, we got our Bibles, you know, on our coffee table, on our shelf. And we pass by and we say, that's my Holy Bible. Yeah. And then 2 weeks later, ooh, I still got my Bible. It's still there, baby. Yeah. We never open it up. Never get any understanding from God. And then we're never able to pass it on. I think we need to have this understanding because these young men did. Somebody taught them. Where did they get it from? If you go back into Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 and 5, it's when the Lord gave the Ten Commandments. And it says this, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them." I mean, these guys, because they had been in the Bible, they knew exactly what he was saying. They had direction. It was already showing them. They knew that when the king did this and made this big statue, they knew what Exodus said. The word of God said, you cannot bow down to any other god. You cannot worship. Case closed. These three young men said, that's our conviction. We're not going to bend to that. Folks, that is why we constantly emphasize for you to read and absorb and study the truth of the Bible to determine what are your non-negotiables in life. The convictions that will guide you, the moral compass of your world. Most people do not believe that there is any source of absolute moral truth. And so what most people do is they wing it when it comes to moral decisions. And you know what the word is today? The word is whatever. That's our response. Whatever. In Isaiah 45 verse 19, the Lord says, "I did not speak in secret or hide my words in some dark place. I did not tell the family of Jacob to look for me in empty places. I am the Lord, and I speak the truth, and I say what is right." And we believe that God has spoken. Amen?
Amen?
And he has not kept silent. That he has not hidden truth off in a corner and has kept it from us. But he has spoken. He has given us his word. And he means what he says. Psalms 119, verse 130. "As your words are taught, they give light." I'm going to stop right there. What happens when you turn on the light? I'll tell you what happens. The cockroaches flee. When you turn on the light, the demons flee. When you turn on the light, you can see. It all happens when you turn on the light. My light was turned on when I was 37 years old, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. The light got turned on in my life. It is never too late to let God turn your light on. Amen?
Amen.
Never too late. I love this verse. "As your words are taught, they give light. Even the simple can understand them." Even Alex Pacheco can understand them. Let me say something to you. God makes it so simple. God loves you. Period. God loves you. And you know, when I found that out, it was easy for me to love someone who loves me. I can love them back. God loves you. Sometimes we're too busy to turn on the light, and we never get any understanding on how much God loves us. God loves us. Amen?
Amen?
And the light is turned on, and he makes it very simple for us to understand. Psalms 119, verse 59. "I thought about my life, and I decided to follow your rules." And these three young men had already made this decision. They thought about their lives. They decided to do what God said to do. They had a moral compass, a set of non-negotiables, and they were clear about this. They were very clear about these conditions. And so what they did was they talked back to Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 3, and they said, "Oh Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God that we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king." In other words, they were saying, We already know what is right. We knew ahead of time, before we even got into this situation, God had spoken, there shall be no other gods, no idols. We will not worship that. They knew from before what their answer would be. And that is key number one. Key number two, on your outline, would you fill in this blank? Do what's right every time. Do what is right every time. It is one thing to know what is right and have a sense of truth and a sense of understanding, but it is something else to say, I now have the courage to act on it. Now, in this story, their action verifies what they say they believe. What they say is a conviction in their heart. And I would like to call this the test of courage. Would you fill in that blank? The test of courage. Now, what I'm getting to is really what we talked about. You're in school right now and you're learning the no part. And when we're done, turn to the person next to you and say, we're going to church after this. Yeah. Because that's where the courage comes in. Application. Yeah, you're driving down the road somewhere. Now you got to act. Yeah, you cannot continue to act the old way. You got to act the new way, the way Christ wants us to act. It's a test of courage. And one of the things that I've tried to get myself in the habit of is when I face these tough decisions, I ask myself the question, what is the right thing to do? Now, in Hilo, when you're driving down the road and there are six cars in front of you, that is heavy traffic. And I don't know what you call yesterday over here. That was a mess. But six cars, you can see the lights. You can see if it's turning green or what. And when it turns green and nobody moves, you're getting upset. You're saying, what's wrong with it? They cannot see? They're colorblind? What? And when they finally get moving, in Hilo, we're really we show courtesy to each other. And you give the car in front of you some spaces. You know, you're not right on the bumper spaces. And I watch them do this, and then I'm giving space. And then one car just come from the side, cut right inside. And I say, must be from Honolulu. That's how they drive over there. And so I have to make a decision. Should I drive up to them and punch the bugger out? Should I slap them on the head? So I pull on the side, I come up to the car, and it's Pastor Elwin. And as soon as I see Pastor Elwin, it's like the light turns on. Now I gotta do what is right. And I ask the question, do we know before time what is right? Or do we respond and do the wrong things? Am I making sense here?
Yes.
Yeah. And so we got to know. We got to ask ourselves the question, what is the right thing to do? And do the right thing all the time. I have to have the courage to know what is right and to do it. Amen? Now, living with character and living an integrated life means that I got to be doing the right thing. It's about doing the right thing because God says it's right. And we are left to be obedient to Him. That means not listening to the lies. And we listen to the lies all the time. We tell ourselves lies. Things like, no one will ever know. That's how we do business. Or this is the last time, I promise. Or I just cannot help myself. And folks, when the voice of the Holy Spirit says, you know it is wrong, we need to have the courage to obey and to do what is right every time. Amen?
Amen.
We're always just one decision, one compromise away from putting a crack in our character. Proverbs 10, verse 9. You'll be safe if you always do right. Here's an opportunity. Wives, turn to your husband, look him in the eye, and repeat after me. You'll be safe if you always do right. Now, man, let me tell you why I do the women first. Because now you have an opportunity to talk louder. Look them in the eye and repeat after me. You'll be safe if you always do right. You weak, man. You weak. I would go loud. It's an opportunity. But look at the second part of that verse. But you will get caught if you're dishonest. Now, this might be the most important thing that I say to you today. And this is this. You'll be safe if you always do what is right. You'll be safe if you always do what is right. Now, I want to be honest with you. There is a price tag to it. Whenever you do what is right, there's a price tag. And these three young men, they knew that. They said to the king, our God is able to save us. But look at verse 18. But even if he doesn't do that, even if he doesn't rescue us, we want you to know, O king, we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. See, they said, we've made up our minds. We're not going to be pressured or bribed or manipulated or led astray. We have drawn this line and we are willing to pay the price because we are convinced of these convictions that come from God. They are from God. Now, sometimes when you are a person who has honorable character and deciding always to do what is right, sometimes it will hurt. You're climbing up the ladder of success and you got to do what is right. And many times you may not get the next position only because you're doing what is right. Proverbs 21 verse 3, doing what is right and fair pleases the Lord more than an offering. Let me tell you something. This is so simple. When you're doing what is right, no matter what happens, you're pleasing the Lord. You're pleasing the Lord. And God wants that more than you coming to church. He wants that more than you giving your offering. He says, you do what is right, and that's pleasing to him. Amen? And so first, you got to know what's right ahead of time. That is the test of conviction. And then you got to do what is right every time. That is the test of courage. And then number three, be gracious all the time. Be gracious. Now listen, God not only cares that you do what is right, he wants you to do it with the right attitude. We have a marriage class in our church, and we're constantly teaching the men how to say sorry to their wives. Yeah, I'll tell you. Sorry. 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 And I say, hey, brother, that's not how. He said, hey, I meant it with all my heart. Sorry. Sorry. Yeah. Well, I said, not, you got a small heart then, bro. You have a small heart. We got to learn to not just only do right, but we got to learn how to do it with the right heart, the right attitude. Amen? With a spirit of grace and love and kindness. And I like how these three young men handled themselves in kindness. They just simply said, we can't do that, King. We won't do it. And that's what I call the test of courtesy. It is a test of courtesy. It is about doing the right thing in the right way. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, instead, by speaking the truth in a spirit of love, we must grow up in every way to Christ, who is the head. You see, everything in our culture says, fight back, get even, take what is yours. Don't let anybody push you around. Demand your rights. And then Jesus says things differently. Here we go again. BC days. BC days. Slap them. Punch them. Kick them. Yeah. Hey, don't let anybody push you around. But then Jesus comes and he says, because now you accept him into your life, he says, be kind. Demonstrate patience. Love your enemies. Pray for them. Serve those who have... What book are we reading anyway? Serve those who have wronged you. go the second mile. And yet Jesus says, this is the kind of attitude that he expects us to have. And you know what I found out? I found out that when you follow the Lord, your relationships get better. But when you did it your way, guess what? Yeah, everybody's upset with you and mad with you. I want to be really clear. You cannot, as a Christ follower, be mean-spirited. You cannot be vicious. Yeah, in the name of Jesus. Every now and then I meet up with these Christians, even pastors, who carry as a badge of honor that they are being persecuted, all in the name of Jesus, and they go around and they say things like, hey, I'm just taking my stand for Jesus and I'm being persecuted because of my faith. You know what I want to say to them? No, you're not. You're being persecuted because you're a jerk. Yeah. And the sad thing about it is when we're jerks, we don't get credit for what we do. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. God is pleased with you when for the sake of your conscience, you patiently endure unfair treatment. Of course, you get no credit for being patient if you are beaten for doing wrong. And what I got to say about that is being a jerk for Jesus is no badge of honor. You must be gracious and kind. Now listen, no matter what. No matter what. So here's the ending of the story. The king is so upset at these three men. He has them tied up. Now this is where I go into the Hawaiian pigeon part, okay? Okay. The king is so upset and he's angry. And he says to the guys, hey, get the emu ready. Put in more emu stones, plenty stones. We need more firewood. Plenty firewood. Keavi, yeah, that's the one. We'll put them in. Make the fire harder than normal. And then he says to the three guys, we're going to throw you in the fire. And they do. The king, because he wants to make sure that these three men pay with their lives, he stands there and he watches the fire. But the Bible says he's confused because when he looks in the fire, he cannot believe his eyes. The Bible says he sees not only there are three men and that they're not burned up. They're walking around unharmed. But he sees four. And the Bible says King Nebuchadnezzar describes him as he was like the Son of God. Now here's what I want you to get. When you choose to do what is right and live by your own conviction, by your convictions, I cannot promise you what's going to happen. I cannot promise you a fairy tale ending or that everything will go the way you want it to go. But what I do feel confident in promising is that Jesus will walk with you through whatever you go through. Okay, that's good. That's enough. But catch this. But you need to walk with him. You need to walk with him. And if you have that, that is enough. And when I came here this last night, because that was when we started the services, I was in awe of what the Lord was already doing. Because before I even preached my message, a song that you heard this morning was sung, I will worship you. Still will I worship you, even when I'm in the fire. I will stand and proclaim you that you are my God. And I thought, man, that goes right on with what the message is. It's like God was speaking right through. And then they had a song, Do It Anyway. And you know, the flavor, I love country. It's love country. And if you're struggling, but you know what the right thing to do, the word for you today is do it anyway. Just do it anyway. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? And with our heads bowed and eyes closed, there might be someone here this morning that you are planning to do something wrong and God spoke to your heart today. And I trust that because you heard the truth, that you would not do whatever is wrong, but you would do whatever is right. It is never too late to do what is right. There might be someone that was going to say something to somebody, maybe tell them off. God has you thinking right now. What is the right thing to do? There's a marriage that might be sour right now, and you're thinking of throwing in the towel. And God's saying, what's the right thing to do? What is the right thing to do? And you got your instruction this morning, but church does not start until you walk out these doors. What are you going to do today? I would pray that you would have the courage, you would have the courtesy to do what God is asking you to do this morning. And I always trust that God is going to win, no matter what. Let Him win in your hearts this day. With our heads still bowed and eyes closed, there might be some that have been attending church for a season of your life, and you've heard invitations given before, but you've never stepped forward. And that's where it begins. See, Jesus Christ has to be Lord of your life in order for you to follow Him. He has to be your boss, someone that would guide you and direct you. And if that's you this morning with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you would say, Pastor Alex, I want to receive Jesus, we're going to pray together. But you would say that right now by lifting your hand up high. If there's anybody here this morning who would say, I want to receive Jesus. And just hold your hand up high because we're going to pray together, heads bowed and eyes closed. We're showing respect to one another right now, not looking around. Anybody else would say, Pastor Alex, let's pray. Hold your hands up high. We're going to pray. You're just reaching out to the Lord. Repeat after me, everyone. Dear Jesus, we accept you as our Lord and Savior. Guide us, direct us, lead us, show us what is right from wrong. Today, we make the decision to follow you fully. And so as best as we know how, we accept you as our Lord and Savior. Head still bowed and eyes closed. You may put your hands down. Let me speak to those that have just received Jesus, that He walks with you through the fire, but you have to walk with Him. When you're on your way out this morning, find the yes table. That's the beginning. Just those people are going to be with open arms waiting for you. And all you need to say is, I accepted Jesus. And they're going to help you with this new walk in life. Walk with Jesus. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we thank you so much that the truth is, you love us. But you love us too much to leave us where we're at. And so, Lord, you're the one that leads us from glory to glory. And we're so grateful, Lord, for all that you have done for us. Thanks for teaching us what is right. And now, Lord, help us to be doers of your word. We are blessed, Lord, because of who you are. Thanks for this church and for the leaders and pastors. We thank you so much for all that you give to us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for having me. God bless you all.
Alex, if you come, thank you. Isn't he a great guy? You know, it's like you're sitting at your father's feet and he always gives us good, wise, sound counsel. Great guy talking about a great God. Let's all stand together. You know, if he was my teacher in school, I would have learned a lot more, I think. But are you ready to go to church? You guys ready to go to church? Yeah, let's go out. When we go out, let's show the world the light of Jesus Christ that's shining through our hearts so we can reach even more. All right? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you again for a dear brother named Pastor Alex Pacheco, as well as his wife Berna, Lord, and the ministry that they've provided throughout the years. Thank you for touching our hearts through his spoken word. May we now be changed and transformed to do exactly as he taught us, to go out and shine the light of you throughout all of the people and the community that we meet. Father, indeed, church is on the outsides. We want to worship you and glorify you wherever we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. Seal that lesson to your heart now. Have a great week. Love on each other as you go.